I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To a rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down at his own 48-yard line. Josh Tupu. And, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. That's right. That is the sports story right now gripping the nation, the world, really, because that was quite the scary thing many of us witnessed on Thursday Night Football. We will talk Tua, we will talk Judge, yes, finally the decision is in, reflect on Redmond, give you the anchor leg, and a lot more with who else? The man himself, running things, Mr. Donovan Bailey. Wagwan.
JP, how you doing, man?
Glad to be back.
I'm
good, yeah.
Glad to be back another week. This is awesome. There's definitely some interesting topics that we got to get into today. Some serious, some in perspective, some light, you know. But let's get to it.
Yeah, let's get to it. And he wears number one on his back, and he's number one on the show here in terms of the lineup. Tua Tagovailoa, obviously, we know about what happened in the game preceding Thursday Night Football. That was Sunday against Buffalo in Miami. Went down, hit his head. They said it was a back injury. Doctor cleared him to play. That doctor has since been fired by the NFLPA. More importantly, though, we want to talk about the health of Tua, because that was such a scary thing to witness. Where do we go from here? I mean, there's a lot to break down. First up, just get your impression as to what you saw on the field that night.
Well, I saw what everyone saw. I think that, obviously the kid got hit. It looked like a decent hit. It wasn't anything. I don't think it was anything worth being penalized for. But when he got back and he hit his head.
Right.
On concrete, people.
That's that is the key.
When you hit your head, and whether or not that head is being protected by a helmet, you hit your head on, I'm just saying it's a lot of force. You have two men playing a sport, and, the back of your head hits concrete, and it clearly shook his brain. I mean, I think I had a minor concussion one time. I was playing basketball and I got undercut with a dunk, and I didn't and I had blocked out for a little bit. But I'm just saying, mm-hmm. I've never played real contact sport. I got drafted in football, but I never played it, so I don't really understand these massive impacts. What I do have, though, Jason, is a lot of friends that have played in the NFL that will tell me, about what it's like. Essentially, each of those hits that you see, it's like actually being hit by a car. Like, literally, he goes, we are, the collision, the intensity of each collision is like being hit by a motor vehicle. And so, the rattling of the brain is a major issue, man. And probably that's why we're starting it today by having, this discussion. I know that the NFL, the NFLPA have been aligned, from what I've read, they have been aligned to make sure that they spend a whole lot of time taking care of their athletes. The commodities of the sport are the athletes. So it's very important for those to be aligned with each other. But my God, man, I mean, yeah, it was real tough to watch this kid get hit, and then he kind of got up, and you knew that something was wrong.
The point you brought up about the concrete, the hardness of the surface, I mean, that is key. We've had multiple NFL players,
right,
of the past, majority of them anyways, talking about that actually creates more concussions,
right,
than a head-to-head hit.
Right.
Because the ground is so hard, and like you said, it's like basically bang your head off the concrete. So, right, a bunch of us, Millions of us saw what happened the other night with his, you know, Tua holding his hands with his fingers frozen in place now. You know, multiple doctors have come out, many neuropathologists saying that, you know, that's a clear sign of a brain injury with brain stem dysfunction.
Right.
I realize these athletes, all they want to do is play. And I can't speak for Tua, but many out there have said, you know what? He wanted to play.
Right.
You know, that's what they want to do. Go out there, be there for their teammates, be there providing for their families, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. I know you don't want to play armchair quarterback in a situation like this, but should we even have gotten to the point of Tua being on the field after what we saw just, you know, 4 days earlier?
Well, you know what? A couple of things. As a retired athlete myself, and like I said, I'm not going to speak on what a sport that you're essentially tackling everyone every day and you know, you're having absolute contact or impact. I don't know that. I played basketball. So that's as much impact I've had. But I think it's very obvious for us all to kind of understand and observe what it is that we saw. I don't think that Tua should have been on the field.
Right.
But as an athlete, you have to understand that you play a sport where you have the mentality of invincibility. And that's how football is. That's how basketball is. That's how every sport is, actually. You have to walk on your field of play thinking, knowing, believing, trusting that you're the greatest at what you do. It's also child's play. You know what I mean? You get to make, you know, tens, hundreds of millions of dollars playing in the sandbox, being a big kid, right? And I think that obviously what we have to address, and the reason why we're addressing it, is the major health issues. We've seen lots of athletes who have died, who have killed themselves, who have done all kinds of things.
Right.
And a lot of this has to do with CTE.
Yes.
And so it is very important for us, one, as a society, two, as sports fans, three, as caring people, to look at, you know, what it is that we see and use all our platforms or whatever tools we have to reach out and support those people who are trying to do good. I mean, you know, I think it's very important to kind of support Tua. But at the end of the day, Jason, here's the thing. I don't know the kid. I've never spoken to the kid.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm very certain that he wanted to play. You know, I know that I grew up in a place where, you know, you're being called, like, you got to man up and you got to get out there and you know, if you get hit or you get a stinger or, you know, or in basketball, you get an elbow or whatever, or in track and field, you get a hamstring strain or something. It's like, you know, tied up or get rid of it or don't think about it. Get out there and continue. And the invincibility of athletes, the invincibility of thought, you know, you've been trained to do this. That's the reason, I think, why Tua went back on the pitch.
Yeah. Well, 20, 30 years ago, you know, we didn't have the technology.
Right.
You know,
true.
Maybe early 2000s we did. But you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, they didn't have that technology. And I'm sure a lot of athletes in various sports played with concussions. But
right.
Now we have the information.
Right.
We have the technology. You know, obviously I'm no doctor, but
right.
I find it hard to believe that what we saw happen on that Thursday night wasn't a direct reflection of what took place 4 days earlier.
Of course it was. I mean, but you know that. I mean, you know this. I mean, I actually participated in a data collection of concussed people, as well as myself, with Queen's University a couple of years ago. And it would be crazy. Like I'm just saying to you, the pathways that you see, in the brain of a concussed person is crazy looking compared to the pathways, in the brain of someone who's not been concussed. I mean, and you know, when I look at data like that, I'm no doctor either, but I am a student and I know a lot of extremely smart people. So I always leave it up to the experts to answer real questions on statistics and all of that. But my opinion, really, when explained to me about what a concussed brain looks like, is, you know, you're looking at, you know, I'm a big, you know, supporter of Alzheimer's research and dementia. And so many diseases that are caused when the brain gets moved around the skull, it's not meant to do that naturally. So when it gets moved around, there's just a lot of destruction that happens, and there's some diseases that we're out there trying to rid ourselves rid society of. That brain, it almost like it's a petri dish for that.
Yeah, we could go on and on and on about this situation with Tua. Where do we go from here? I guess that's the next question, right? I mean, we know the franchise has been getting a lot of flack for allowing him to play.
Right.
The NFL is getting a lot of flack for allowing him to play. We spoke of the doctor getting fired.
Right.
Mike McDaniels is under heavy scrutiny, obviously, right. the head coach, first-year head coach, NFL, in terms of the Dolphins. It's kind of a three-pronged attack I have for you here. If you're Tua...
Mm-hmm.
We know he's not playing anytime soon.
But he wants to.
He wants to.
Right.
Would you contemplate retirement? Is it a thing of just, you know, do you wait a while? Should he be allowed to come back? I mean, a lot of questions to answer before, you know, we move forward here.
I know he's a sports. First of all, I don't think Tua has gotten, I know that he's a quarterback in the NFL, and every person that plays any sport wants to retire after they've gotten to some place where they can be proud and they can relax and they can either and retire and you know, float on into doing something else. I'm very certain that he wants to play. I'm very certain of that. I'm very certain he wants to.
If you're Tua, would you come back?
Well, I mean, I'm not Tua.
No.
But I'm saying to you that I know that as an athlete.
Right.
I know that he's thinking, I'm fine. I can play.
Right.
I'm just saying, I know this. I don't have to. The fact that he got up and we also know that the NFL concussion protocol is the easiest thing to pass. Right. I mean, I'm saying to you, based upon, you know, what's out there in the research, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, if you have any sort of memory recall, you'll pass the concussion on-field concussion test. That's probably going to change. But I'm just saying to you, to answer your question, Jason, as an athlete who feels that your work is not done yet, I'm very certain that he wants to come and play.
All right. Well,
very certain.
Obviously, to be continued, not to be continued coming up this Sunday when they head off to MetLife Stadium in New York to take on the Jets. Teddy Bridgewater will be under center, but yeah, just wish him the best. That was very scary to witness. You knew it was something very serious.
Right.
And yeah, thinking of Tua and hopefully a speedy recovery, and obviously the ultimate decision will be made by Tua.
Well, let me ask you a question. What else can you do? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, do you take medication? Do you rest? Like, what is it that you think I'm just saying to you.
I'm Tua.
You're not playing anymore.
I'm not playing anymore.
Right. And I'm
not playing anymore. I'm not sure how much of his contract is guaranteed or whatever, but sometimes you just got to realize money is money. Life is completely different.
Money
cannot buy you life.
And I'm telling you, as an athlete,
right? I get it.
He's thinking the complete opposite of what you just said.
No, I get it.
No, he's thinking, hey, no, I'm here. I'm fine. I can play. I mean, a lot of times you hear boxers talking about going out on their shield.
Yeah,
that is the mindset of every single successful sports person.
Right. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's all up to the individual.
No, for sure.
Another edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. Jason Portwando alongside DB. As per always, as per usual, we ask that you like, share, subscribe, follow, be a part of this podcast whenever you can, wherever possible. It is global. Catch it anywhere worldwide. Hey, speaking of worldwide, this was the home run heard everywhere. Finally, it happened.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
Now, some will say he's no Barry Bonds who hit, 73? Okay. Here comes another fight. But Aaron Judge is the all-time home run king now when it comes to American League Baseball, surpassing Roger Maris. who had 61, some 61 years ago, ironically. I was wondering if he was going to get to it. You know, time was winding down very quickly, but before the clock hit zeros, if you will, and I know there's no clock in baseball, relax. It's just a saying. He was able to do it. How huge is this for Aaron Judge? Obviously, it's huge, but you know what I mean? Because others will look at the National League and see other names there that have hit more than he has.
Well, you know what? Congratulations, man. I think that's a fantastic commitment, a fantastic accomplishment. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's amazing. He, you know, what's really good about even the baseball season this year, JP, mm-hmm. is that he's been hitting home runs. Well, first of all, he bet on himself. So remember, he's got a contract coming up, right? He's got some contract negotiations coming up.
Okay.
That's one. And he's going to get paid.
That's a whole other conversation.
There's going to be that Brinks truck is going to back up in his driveway. Well, actually, it might be about six Brinks trucks.
Exactly.
That's one. So he bet on himself. Number two, he's just been like a good kid, like just hitting it out the park, mm-hmm. On and off the field. Number three, and this is probably important, you just said that he's definitely no Barry Bonds, but this kid's been playing baseball, phenomenal baseball, being a great teammate all year, with no asterisk.
Yeah, well, here comes the argument. Here comes the argument.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm just saying to you that, like, yes, you know, I think that everyone wants him to like everyone, like anything else. If there's a world record out there or a record out there, you want to see the next best person right. break it. But I'm saying to you that his campaign this year has been flawless. And I'm saying to you just the fact, again, you know, betting on himself, being a real good teammate, no asterisk, right?
Yeah.
You know, and for that, man, I just think that that's phenomenal. He is managing his brand very well, we'll say. He's going to get the bag.
Here's a guy who is now seventh on the all-time list. Number one, obviously, when it comes to the American League, but Barry Bonds had 73 back in 01. Mark McGwire, 70 back in 98. Again, asterisks involved there. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, those names would fluctuate
right.
as well down the list. But Aaron Judge, yeah, you're right. I mean, for me, the amazing thing is he hits for everything.
Right.
Power.
Right.
Average. On base percent, he's just such a well-rounded athlete. And he doesn't have the conventional body size of a baseball player. What is he, 6'10", whatever he is?
He's 6'10".
He has to be playing basketball or something, whatever, 6'8", whatever. But hey, right. the guy's huge.
Right.
But yeah, what a phenomenal story. You know, he had the theatrics throughout the year, you know, going after that Triple Crown, didn't get that, but got the number he wanted most of all. The baseball. Right. I mean, the man who caught the baseball is being offered upwards of $2 million. $2 million, and he's thinking about it. I would have given it up for half of that.
You'd have given him for 10 grand.
Okay, you're right. You're right. But don't tell him that.
I'm just saying to you that, well, one, let's congratulations, man. I mean, phenomenal. But, you know, that would be a great night to go out to watch baseball and, you get $2 million in your pocket. You're almost getting generational wealth by catching a baseball. So hey, for all you people out there, go out and watch some baseball, and hopefully, wait till Judge is playing and catch that ball next year. I'll probably go after it.
I was there for 61, by the way, in Toronto.
That's good.
I witnessed that live.
Right.
But
did you catch the ball?
No. I was sitting on the third base side there. Well, because it went over the left field wall, and I was at third base. So,
you need to send him a tweet next time. You need to tell him.
If I caught the ball, it would be foul, so you wouldn't want that to happen. But right. yeah, I know it's a great story in terms of that. But you spoke of the Brinks truck.
Mm, right.
Here is the ultimate bet on yourself and win. We throw that term around so much in sports,
right.
but this is the ultimate bet on yourself and win, because they offered him, I think, $213.5
right.
Don't forget that, $0.5 million.
$213.5
yeah, yeah. at the beginning of the season. He said, right. No.
I'm good.
We'll talk afterwards. Right. So now, can you imagine if the Yankees don't fess up and put up?
I don't think, you know what, you know,
they got to, do they not?
But here's what's great about being a free agent, though. It doesn't matter. Someone is
going to pay. Like, he'll get 300.
Right. No, he's going to get more than that.
Wow.
I'm telling you now, he's going to get more than 300.
Okay, I'll say 300.
He's going to get north of $300 million. I'm saying to you,
that's
that,
a nice place to live,
isn't that? Not
I'll
bad?
Go. I'll go up north for that. I'm not one to go up north, but I'll go up in that neighborhood.
No, but I'm just saying to you that yeah, it is the ultimate bet on yourself, and for all you kids out there, I mean, again, look at this as an example. I mean, certainly, in anything that you're doing, you've always got to put the work in, right? And so, being a good teammate, putting the work in, no asterisk by your name. Way to go. And so my bet, Jason, is that it will be north of three. And when it happens, you and I will have this continued discussion. Not that me and you are getting any part of it.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Right. But he's going to get the bag for sure.
How much of this season, how can I put this to you? Does it mean as much if the Yankees don't win at all?
You know what? It's still a team sport.
That's my point.
No, it's still a team sport. Yeah. It's still a team sport. And again, I can only talk to you from an athlete's brain. In track and field, it is an individual sport. Then we have to get together and be a team for a nanosecond to run the relay, right? In baseball, basketball, football, soccer, it is a team sport. So you can get, I'm very certain that, you know, for Aaron, he will get paid quite well for his individual stats. However, as a teammate, which he seems to be an incredible teammate, he definitely wants, not only, I mean, it's so much sweeter when your individual stats resonate with the rest of the team, because you're celebrating with a World Series ring, and that's to me, it's probably more in a team sport. It's pretty important. It's pretty important for the team to win. I mean, you know, individually, like, you know, in golf or tennis or track and field, those are all individual sports. So your individual stats matter. You winning matter. You winning probably help the self-esteem of your teammates, so they then believe that they can win. But it's the complete opposite on a team sport, where your individual stats are incredible and very important, but it's so much more important that your team wins.
I agree. You and I like to debate here on the show, but I agree.
That's
fully
what we do.
I mean, to me, you can never take away the 62 home runs.
Right.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't feel as nice to him if his team doesn't go far and potentially win it all, because you said it, it's a team sport. Nice to have those individual accomplishments. I will say this quickly before we move on. Not only the asterisk part for me makes it a hell of an accomplishment,
right?
But baseball now is a lot different than it was when Barry was hitting them and when Mark was hitting them and Sammy. Just the analytics of the game, the approach of the pitching staffs, you don't have guys going deep into games like you did before. Now the bullpen's getting involved so much earlier. Sometimes bullpen guys are starting the game.
Right.
Right? So baseball is just a different feel to it. So for me, in terms of the pitching aspect, what he has done with those 62 home runs, phenomenal.
Well, you're the stats man. You're definitely the journalist stats man extraordinaire. So, yes, I mean, the game is, well, the sport is actually different.
Right.
Yeah, sport. So I think that you and I definitely have an incredible mutual respect for this kid and what he's done this year.
But I will say this, whatever Barry was taking, if he was taking something, if I was taking that, I would not hit 73 home runs. So
you'd have had what? You would have hit what?
I would have taken maybe 3.
You'd have taken 3. I've
taken 3.
You'd have gotten
you
3.
You move the wall into 300 feet, I can hit 3.
All right. So, well, you know what? Hey, I mean, I don't know. Was Barry Bonds, did he ever get caught, or was there just speculation?
You know what? How long do we have for this show?
Oh yeah, shoot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's move on.
Can do that. We when we move the show to a daily episode, we'll get into that.
On a serious tip, as we talk a little track and field, because obviously that's your specialty, and this one hits close to home for you in terms of the Barca Olympics. We saw one of the more heart-touching moments from those 92 games, and, you know, we all know, dead or alive, family is there for you, right? They're always there for you in different ways. And what I witnessed going back some 30 years ago,
yeah.
One of the more unique things with Jim Redmond, who recently passed. So we acknowledge the loss. Obviously, thoughts and prayers to his family and friends. Just speak of what took place back at those 92 games, because obviously you became quite close with his son.
Yeah, listen, rest in peace, Jim Redmond. Or, you know, from a man from Jamaica with manners, rest in peace, Mr. Redmond.
Yes, rest in power.
Rest in power. Yeah. You know what? One of the most iconic moments in Olympic history, even to this day, is Mr. Redmond jumping barriers, hurdling out of the stands. You know, Derek Redmond, great athlete, definitely was a favorite to be on the podium. Got a hamstring injury. And, you know, I think that a lot of people, you know, might think or talk about the moment when athletes are training their butt off to make the Olympic Games only to run one race. Well, you know, for you all, Google this, please. I mean, it's
been watched over 3 million times on YouTube. It's counting.
It's an incredible moment. You know, Derek, certainly, Derek had his day. And you know what I loved about, you know, even just how it all played out was that his dad, Derek, got injured, but his dad was not going to allow his son to not complete that moment. And so he hurdled over a couple of chairs and security and whomever, and got on that track and helped his son, help his son to finish. And to me, it's still, I mean, I got to know Derek, really good man. I mean, he's done and does incredible work, in the UK and around Europe, and wherever. I'm sure, I mean, there's no limits to, you know, to his, you know, to his it's speaking engagements or appearances and his well wishes. But he continues to do great work today. And so my condolences, to him and his family. And certainly I encourage you all to look at what, I encourage you all to just Google it and take a look and see. It happened in 1992 Barcelona, Derek Redmond, running the 400 meters. It is such an incredible, iconic moment of what it means to be, means to have a complete support system. You know what I mean? Like having mom and dad that will, and they'll do anything for you. And man, it's like I watch it today. And even today, even more so today, actually, it resonates with what's going on in the world and how important it is to have that incredible support system and having family and you know, just having real support, where no matter what happens, you have people that's got your back 100% of the time.
Yeah, there have been so many fantastic moments, obviously, over the years,
right,
at the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
This is top five when it comes to, you know, inspiration. Easily top five.
You know what? I actually don't know what would top it. I got to tell you. I'm just saying to you that I'm saying to you that from, I understand if, you know, there are certainly the times when athletes are injured and then they kind of go
I've seen
through.
Other athletes help each other.
Other athletes helping each other. But I'm just saying to you, if you have two athletes that are competing and they help each other, that's also such.
Because you're giving up your.
You're giving up your spot, and that's, you know, that's just such an incredible human connection. But I'm just saying to you, as you know, I'm one of those people that I'm a mama's boy. I speak about it all the time. But my father was also my best friend, and so you know, I look at that situation, and I also understand that if I was probably in that race and my father was in the stands, he would absolutely do the same thing. So for me, it's such an incredible thing, man. I mean, and again. Derek, my condolences to you and your family, your incredible family. And I mean, you know, we definitely lost a good one in your dad passing. So rest in power, Jim.
You're listening to another edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things from inside the Toronto Mike Studios. We bring you coverage of everything. And today's show is no different. I mean, death often puts life into perspective. And yes, like you said, thoughts and prayers going out to the Redmond family. We like to wrap things up, having a little fun today, no different, as we take you inside the anchor leg.
A cleaning save to Donovan Bailey is pouring it on.
Oh, yeah. You know, Toronto Mike had a pretty good question. He said, who's got that damn baton from back in the day?
Oh, Jesus.
Do you know where it is?
You know what? I think it's probably, it might be at
is it in your garage somewhere?
No. It might be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
It might be at the COC. It might be at Athletics Canada. It might be at on one of my teammates' shelves.
Did somebody bronze it?
It might be bronzed.
Why do we bronze things? Instead of you run so damn hard to win, then you bronze something. How about you gold it?
Well, I'm thinking gold too.
Yeah, gold.
Well, I would never bronze it, so it's all right. But I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know where it is. I mean, okay. I have a golden baton. I don't think it's the one we use. But hey, I can have the boys sign it, and I can convince you though.
All right, fair enough. Let's run this anchor leg. First up, a little LeBron James talk. The LA Lakers superstar. He's been part of Fenway Sports Group for a while now, so gives him part ownership of the Red Sox, Liverpool Football Club, a few other things, Ness and New England Sports Network, etc. But he has recently come out saying he wants to become part of the NBA ownership and bring an expansion team to Las Vegas. And he's talked about this more than once.
Well, that's where the Raiders are. So I'm quite happy.
Oh, man.
We just won. We're now on a winning streak of one. So, okay. okay. Serious talk. Dude, I think that, first of all, I think that LeBron, as a businessman, as an influential athlete, maybe he's not my favorite basketball player, but as a businessman and as an influential athlete, I am his greatest supporter. And this is no different. I think that NBA owners should start to look like the players. I believe that it would be incredible if him and his group put together something attractive that would whet the appetite of Mr. Silver and would allow him to buy the franchise in Vegas. I think it would be incredible. I think that it's, again, when Magic was part of the Dodger group and Dodgers ownership group as well as the Lakers, I thought these incredible Michael Jordan. I love ownership. Jason, these are things that you know about me. As a business person, I like to own my own way and own my own thing. And I think that LeBron James, as he's getting in the twilight of his career, but he's got some incredible associations he's invested his money well, and it would be great to see him as an owner of an NBA team.
All right. Hey, LeBron says he wants it done. I would not be surprised. And all of a sudden, you think about it, over the last a few years, Vegas is becoming a hot spot now for franchises, right? Never had an NHL one. Mm-hmm. Now they do. Never had an NFL one. Well, no, they sort of do.
They do. No, listen.
A little shout at your Raiders.
It's okay. But you know what, though? Vegas is always, Vegas, one, has incredible fans. Incredible fans. But it's also an incredible tourist destination place.
100%.
Right. So I think that is an amazing place to put another sports franchise because, as you just mentioned, Jason, the support of pro sports has been incredible, and an NBA franchise would just be amazing.
New research into weightlifting has revealed two insights. One, the practice is able to strengthen the connections between nerves and muscles, and this strengthening can still happen later in our lives. So, DB, how much weightlifting are you doing? Because you got to be hitting 40 soon.
Right. I got to hit, yeah.
So, I mean, you ready?
No, you know what, though? Here, I get asked this question quite a bit about how much I work out.
Okay.
I don't lift weights, right? But Jason, to your point, I actually agree with that. I think that lifting weights, lifting light weights, lifting heavy weights, if you can, I think is incredible. What I do, I play basketball, but I also do push-ups, sit-ups, whatever it is that I do might not necessarily be what everyone does. I think that weightlifting is always going to stimulate your testosterone, especially in males, over
40 or whatever age right. there is. And overall, I think exercise. I mean, if like I am always the support and advocate for people just exercising. Exercising is going to allow you to avoid diseases, chronic diseases of any kind. It's going to make you sleep better. It's going to make you do everything better, or at least continue to do it better. So yes, I'm a huge supporter, of people hitting the gym, doing some weights, getting your heart rate up, you got to rev that car up a little bit for it to continue to running like a well-oiled machine.
Hmm. Well, it says here we actually start losing muscle mass before the age of 40. So
that's right.
You got to get going on because 40 is around the corner.
You're talking.
You. That's right. Baseball yeah. playoffs. Let's go back and talk a little baseball. We spoke of Judge earlier on the program. Well, the postseason, the real season, the most important season is about to start. And in terms of basketball, by the way, in case you're wondering, October 18th, I do believe, opening night. So we're as a
getting ready.
Taping.
Getting ready.
12 days, about 7 hours away. So right. baseball is going to start a lot sooner than that. Toronto Blue Jays will host a three-game series, if it needs to go three. Best 2 out of 3 against Seattle. Do you have a baseball pick? Or do you want to just go a little bit by a little bit? Let's start with the Blue Jays. When we talk again next week, will the Blue Jays have won or be watching like you and I?
I'm going to go a little bit. Okay. I think that... For me, baseball's like I always start very slow in baseball playoff season.
Right.
I am a Blue Jay fan by right because I live close to them and I know the people there. I think of course I can get you tickets.
All right,
I can get you great tickets.
All right, perfect.
But I think that they will have won one the next time we meet.
Well, more than that, because you know what? Baseball is pretty back to back to back to back. So they're playing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the thing is like.
But one is what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay. I thought you meant win one game. Okay. Yeah. Right. No, I think the series will be over by the time we talk next week.
So. Really?
Yeah. Because baseball, they speed it up, right? They play all like back to back to back.
You don't games. Think that the Jays will be playing the next time we meet here?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying the series will be over. They will have won. That's what I'm
saying. Oh, sorry.
It's only a three-game series, right?
I'm just trying to catch up with you, bro.
Yeah,
I'm
no
just,
problem. No I mean, problem. I got you.
Day, at the end of the day, you're telling me that, you know, I thought you meant like the Jays will be sitting here
oh,
watching
yeah. no, no,
and
no,
listening.
No, no,
or the Jays will be like playing golf.
I do like their chances.
Okay, good.
Perfect. One more thing to ask you. Now, this is pretty cool. A woman is facing felony charges for forgetting to return Sabrina the Teenage Witch VHS tape from 20 years ago
right.
at Blockbuster. You remember that? Please be kind and rewind. You remember
is,
that?
Is Blockbuster still in business?
I think there's one left open somewhere.
Oh, okay. Well, first, I think that here's... Okay, so...
Do you have any Blockbuster tapes at home, by the way?
Of course I do.
So you too are a
fan. Yes, absolutely. Okay. I must be. Well, I have VHS tapes. That I know. But listen, here's the thing. Maybe what she should do is... auction this, whatever the fine is. I'm sure that if
that's a great idea.
If she sells, because someone no, well, the crypto has gone down, so so that might be a problem because people are not having frivolous buys anymore. So I'm saying to you that maybe though they should find out what the fine is, auction it off, give them the money, keep the tape and the rest of the cash because I'm sure someone will write her a check for. A VHS tape, which is a relic right now, isn't it?
Misery loves company, as they say. And apparently, that's what Donovan is saying. Sell it to somebody else. Let it become their problem. But she only found out, by the way, because she went to the DMV.
Oh, wow.
And she went to obviously renew her license, and it happened to be on there.
Are you serious, man?
There you go.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought it was a joke.
Take your VHS tape. No, this is serious. This is down deep in the heart of Texas.
South, of
down
course.
In the West
good old
Texas. Town of El Paso. Yeah, there you go. Little Marty
I lived there for 15 years.
There you go. So
that sounds like Texas.
Hope you've enjoyed this edition and every edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. Jason Portwando alongside DB. As always, we thank you for the company. You know what to do. Like, share, subscribe, follow, be a part of it through any podcast provider. As per always, the final word goes to you.
Until I see you. And until you hear us again, be safe.